certainly the highlight of our visit here was this morning. The bishops from the province of the Archdiocese of Portland met with the Holy Father for about a half hour. He asked each of us a bit of reflection upon our own diocese, of course, asking our names and meeting with, taking a picture, and then responding just very briefly to those before giving us a final blessing. For me, this is, after 35 years being a bishop, it's a highlight of several years, actually, coming to meet with him and being with him. So that's been, you know, very positive and something that inspires me, and as we take our pictures back home, certainly hopefully will inspire the faithful as well. The second thing is a visit with the various congregations. Earlier this morning, for example, we met with the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity, and we had a very lovely dialogue with Cardinal Koch and Archbishop Farrell, talking about our part of the world where we live in a very unchurched society. We about 60% of our population in the Northwest in Region 12 is unchurched. So we live in a society and culture that's quite different in many other parts of the world, certainly somewhat different than other parts of the United States. So the discussion and dialogue in those visits with the various dicasteries I find very enriching and very helpful.
And you've spoken about the religious situation in your diocese. That dovetails very nicely with the call for the new evangelization, which has been a focus of a lot of commentary in the church. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're approaching that situation? How are you working on the new evangelization to bring the church and the gospel message to people in your region?
Well, for us in the Diocese of Baker in eastern Oregon, we live in a very unusual situation in the sense that the diocese is very spread out. We don't have a large Catholic population, about 35,000 Catholics. The towns and the cities, we don't have very many cities, they're very spread out. For example, the diocesan headquarters from our cathedral in Baker City, it's almost a five-hour drive, so that gives you some idea, and only going through one or two towns. What I find, though, in our small rural communities is a vibrancy in the church that I find very, very inspiring. You know, these are folks who sometimes drive dozens of miles to church but are very faithful to church. I think as we live in the broader society and culture in which we live, to make sure that we serve the Hispanic community, that's a growing population for us, the migrant community, to make sure that we have priests who are pastoring and can be able to do so in a bicultural situation, especially with their knowledge of Spanish. The Hispanic presence, by the way, for us in the Northwest and specifically in the Diocese of Baker has been just a great blessing and has helped our church communities, our parish communities, to grow and be very alive and to grow in a sense of population even. So that's something that's very unusual for us, but very welcome.
And what are some of the challenges that you're facing? What are some of the challenges that you have to deal with as a bishop?
Well, I think for all of us, especially in the Church of the United States, how do we evangelize the culture in which we live? You know, we live in a relatively secular culture, and I don't think we should feel overly despondent or negative about that. That should be an opportunity for all of us to proclaim the gospel, to live the gospel, to evangelize. As we heard already in Pope Paul VI's apostolic exhortation of Evangelii Nuntiandi, that's a powerful invitation to evangelize. And to me, that's exciting. We're going through such tremendous evolutionary change in our culture and really in our world. The opportunity for connectedness now that we didn't have even 10 years ago. How we can keep connected, how we can connect with others, how we can proclaim the message. I'm not sure we've even begun yet to plumb all the potential ways of how we can evangelize in our modern day. But we need to do it, and we need to really be, I think, very much alert as to how we might address the invitation of Jesus to proclaim the gospel to all the world. That's, I find, exciting, and for us a great opportunity, but it demands much wisdom and skill and spirituality that we all need.
And certainly one of the issues that's come up in recent days has been the question of religious liberty, which the bishops as a conference have kind of unanimously spoken to. Could you address that just a little bit for us?
That certainly is a challenge for us in the United States. The United States has been founded on religious liberty, and we're finding some restrictions on that. And so I think we're going to need to work through that, and we need to work through it in a way that's dialogical, in a way that can clearly elicits our principles, in a way that is persuasive, so that our particular religious beliefs and tenets might be respected. That's going to be an ongoing challenge for us, and we need to work at it very hard.
Next year, the Holy Father, in October, I believe, has instituted a year of faith. Do you have some ideas of what the church can bring to this year of faith as, in terms of spreading the message in our culture?
Certainly. I think it's we can't argue people into faith. You know, people have to come to own that themselves. I think we need to provide a climate and an atmosphere of a church that is alive and vibrant, that encourages people to search out their own faith. You know, for all of us, I think, no matter whether we've been Catholics for a long time or whether we're neophytes or whether we're just beginning to search, the search is a very important part of our lives. Or to put it in another way, for us as long-term Catholics, conversion should be our middle name. Perhaps by our own conversion of heart, an ongoing conversion of heart, we can be a source of inspiration and encouragement to other people.
And my final question for you now. You've been a bishop for 35 years. I think you retired once and were called back to work and are looking forward, I'm sure, to retiring again. But that gives you a lot of freedom to pursue some of your own goals and perhaps your own interests. What areas of interest do you have when you retire? What do you have to say for the future, and what would you like to work on?
Well, there are a couple of areas. Once we're a bishop or a priest in the church, we always are a bishop and a priest. And so for me personally, I've already been very heavily involved in Worldwide Marriage Encounter, both nationally and locally. I've been a team priest for a good many years, for several decades actually, and a cadre priest more recently. Secondly, I've also been involved in giving priest retreats. So for example, in the 6 weeks in which I am now, 3 of those weeks will be giving priest retreats back in the Northwest. So, and 2 of those, by the way, in Canada. So that's, given my experience, life experiences, and my rich history of serving in the church, that I find to me something for which I'm very grateful. That gives me an opportunity to help share with other people my faith journey that hopefully might be inspiring and encouraging to them.
So really working on vocations, both the vocation to marriage and the vocation to the priesthood or religious life.
That's right, to affirming our vocations. I think sometimes we forget how challenging our vocations in life are. We can't take a vocation to marriage for granted. No marriage couple can. And I cannot take my vocation to priesthood and to the life as a bishop. I can't take that for granted. I need to constantly be on the conversion road. And I hope that in some way I might help others by my own experiences, my own failures, successes, struggles that would be encouraging to them as well.
And any final words or message for our listeners?
No, just thank you very much for the opportunity to share in the glorious day here in Rome. It's such a beautiful day, is it not?
It is.
And we are just heading over now to say Mass at St. John Lateran.
Oh, great.
Are the bishops of our region. And those are always very spiritual experiences for us. We said Mass yesterday morning at the tomb of St. Peter. On Tuesday, we celebrated Mass at St. Mary Major. And so those are just wonderful experiences for us as we gather as bishops from the Northwest.